Mark chapter 7, verse 1. I'm going to read a lengthy passage. So follow along with me, please. Then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes which came from Jerusalem. And when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, with unwashed hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands oft, eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the market, except they wash, they eat not. And many other things which there be which they have received to hold, as the washing of cups and pots, brazen vessels, and of tables. Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, why walk not thy disciples according to, notice this, the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands? He answered and said unto them, well hath Esaias prophesied of you hypocrites. As it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups and many other such like things ye do. And he said unto them, full well ye reject the commandment of God that ye may keep your own tradition. You reject the commandment of God that you may keep your own tradition. Verse 10, for Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, and whoso curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is korban, that is to say, a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. And ye suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered, and many such like things do ye. And when he had called all the people unto him, he said unto them, hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. There is nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him. There's nothing from without a man entering into him that can defile him. But the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. And he saith unto them, are ye so without understanding also? Do ye not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him? Because it entereth not into his heart, but into the belly, and goeth out into the draught, purging all meats. And he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. Let's pray. Lord, I ask you to help me, God, as we see what truly defiles us. And Lord, how easily we can be deceived with maybe just traditions that we follow. Help us, God, to not be defiled within, but to ask you to search us out and show us what we need to fix, what we need to work on. Lord God, just ask you to help us, please. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, most of us as Christians don't want to ever think that anything we do can defile us. We think, I've got it in line, I'm doing what I need to do. And I know we don't say that, but we think that, man, I'm doing this, I'm serving the Lord in these ways. And we think that nothing we do can defile us. We think we're okay because we're in church regularly. Defile means something that's going to make us foul. It's going to pollute us. It's filthy. That's what it means to be defiled. We think, no, I'm not doing anything that's foul, that will pollute me, that's filthy. I'm not involved in anything like that. But Jesus warned of the Pharisees. He said in verse 20, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. He says, from within, out of the heart of man proceed all these things that defile the man. It's not what we take in, and in context, when he said that there is nothing, verse 15, there's nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him. Obviously, we know it's not speaking, because we put it in context, it's not speaking of everything out there in the world, because there's many things we can take in that will defile us. We can look at things that will defile us. But in context, it's talking about the things on the outward appearance. You know, eating with dirty hands, that's not going to defile you. He's saying it's really what's in your heart, what comes out of within your heart, that's what defiles you, is what's in here. And that's what we have to guard. That's what we have to watch against. That's what he warns about. So the things within are what make us foul, what pollute us, what make us filthy, what make us stink. Have you ever seen, maybe working with somebody, going to school, whatever it may be, just a beautiful person. And I'm talking outwardly. They look beautiful. They're handsome. Just, you know, just a great looking person. And you meet them and you're like, man, this person is so ugly. Like outwardly, they just look beautiful. But you're like, they're just ugly to me. Because they just have this air about them because of what's coming out. It's just an arrogancy or whatever it is. And you're like, man, they're ugly. I don't even want to be around that person. Because it's what comes from within that defiles us, that makes us filthy, that makes us stink in other people's noses. And this is the warning Jesus is giving to religious people, to us. He's warning us. Because we've all probably been there where we've been the Pharisee. Where we've uplifted some tradition and we've put it either equal with or even above the Word of God. And God's warning us, he said, don't do that. You think you've got it all together because you're keeping after these rules. That's not what defiles you. It's what's coming out of you. You better check your heart is what God's saying because that's what's going to ruin you. That's what was wrong with the Pharisees. He said, you hypocrites. He said, you are these things. You are adulterers, fornicators, murderers, thefts, covetous, thieves, covetous. You're wicked. You're deceitful. And they were all those things. I mean, when they came up to him, questioning him, even in this exchange right here, when they question him, what are they doing? They're trying to trip him up. That's always what they were trying to do. It was deceitful. They had evil thoughts, evil intents. When they brought the woman, I think it's in, oh man, the woman caught in adultery. I forget where it's at. Maybe John chapter 7, if I'm not mistaken. Anyway, the woman caught in adultery. They bring her to Jesus. So they throw her before him and they said, hey, we caught this woman in the very act of adultery. Moses said she ought to be stoned. What say ye? Man, do we not see the hypocrisy in that? Moses said we ought to kill her. What do you say? Hey, that's exactly what Moses said. But they're missing the other half of that whole situation. How did they even catch her in the very act, I'm wondering? How'd they catch her in the act of adultery? I don't know who she was with, but it's very likely it was one of them. Doesn't mean it's so, it may not be so. But very likely it was one of them. But she just gets brought up. You see, their adultery, their deceitfulness. This is what they were. Jesus is calling them all out on it. Their blasphemy by them rejecting God, their pride by them thinking they're right. None of us in here would want to be foul or filthy. But we can get good at hiding our defilement. Because it's not outwardly on us. What's in here isn't worn outwardly. You know, you remember the old cartoons? You'd see and they'd show someone stinks in the old cartoons. You know, and they'd have this like yellow kind of stuff just going up from them. And you could just tell they stink, right? You know, or how many of you remember, what's that guy's name? In Charlie Brown? What's it? Pigpen. Pigpen, he's got this cloud of just dust around him and whatever. He's always just filthy. You know, none of us, for the most part, we're not like that. We don't carry it on the outside of us, our defilement, our stench. We hide it. We cover it up good. I mean, everyone brushed their teeth this morning? Don't raise your hand if not. No one wants to know. All right? So none of you brushed your teeth. Court's the only one. Okay. All right, I'm just kidding. Okay, so we all brushed our teeth this morning. Why? Because you wake up with bad breath. And, you know, we don't want that. So we do things to remedy that. We fix the outside up so that it's not foul and filthy. None of us want to be like that. But in our hearts, what's in there? See, what's inside of our hearts? Because even, man, there can be some sold out people for the Lord, but they got the wrong heart attitude. And see, just like it said of the Pharisees, if we look back, I think it's verse 2, and when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, so to them, they're defiled, they're filthy, they're foul. That is to say, so what'd they do eating with defiled? With unwashed hands. They didn't wash their hands before they ate. Look, it's a good idea to wash your hands before you eat. But you're not defiling yourself if you don't. Okay? But this is a religious tradition they held to. We'll get to this. But that is to say, with unwashed hands, what did they do? They found fault. See, some of us in here are just looking to find fault. Looking to find fault with somebody else. Amen. That's not what I'm trying to do. That's not what we should be trying to do, but that air can come out of us. Now look, we need to warn against error. And to do that, some people may accuse me of, well, you're finding fault. Okay, whatever, but you know, I'm going to warn the people that I am responsible for about what's wrong and to stay away from it. But I have no ill intentions. I'm not attacking those people. I mean, it may come off like that, but that's not my intention. My intention is to warn, to keep you away from them, to say, that's a wolf, stay away. See, that's different than just trying to pick and trying to find fault with anything and everything somebody does. It's like, I don't want to know, honestly. I, you know, if I can help you, if you're trapped in some sin, I want to help, but I don't want to know every sin that you're struggling with. I don't want you to know every sin I'm struggling with. Amen, I don't. But I'm not looking to find fault with you. I'm not like picking at everything you do and be like, they did that, huh? No, that's not what I want to do. I don't want to do that. We shouldn't seek to find fault with everything, but that's what they were trying to do. All of us can look great on the outside, but it's on the inside. It's the filth on the inside that defiles us. The problem, though, is that we many times think, even saved people think, that they can wash away this foul, polluted, rotting stench by doing some religious deeds. This is what the Pharisees were doing. You can't eat with unwashing hands. And Jesus said, and many other such like things ye have, ye hold to. I mean, if you look today at the Orthodox Jews and everything's kosher, I mean, it's ridiculous the extremes they go to based on really like one verse in the Bible where, you know, it says that you won't see a kid in his mother's milk. So you're not going to cook a young lamb in his mother's milk. You're not to do that. There's to be a separation there. But they go so far as they won't have any milk product whatsoever to do with any meat product. I'm telling you, in some of these houses, in a kosher house, they'll have, you know, two sets of appliances for everything. They'll have two refrigerators, two sinks, two counters. I mean, two sets of cutting, everything to keep it all separate. None of it will ever come in contact with each other. What is that? That's adding the tradition of man to what God said. That's what they're doing, and that's what's happening right here. This is exactly what the Pharisees are doing right here. They're adding traditions on top of the Word of God and lifting those traditions above what God said. We all have to watch that. We all have to be careful with that, and we have to evaluate. Wait a minute, let me ask myself, am I lifting this thing that we do? Is there a principle in the Word of God for it? Okay, if there's a principle, a truth that the Word of God teaches, then I'm going to hold to that. And I'm not going to say my standard is this, so you can't do that. It's like this. Look, say somebody, I have no problem with this. I mean, we've gone back and forth on this, on getting rid of a television. I have no problem if someone in here wants to have a television in their house. We have one. But I also have no problem if someone in here doesn't want to have a television. Good for you. Praise the Lord. That's a good thing. But I'm not mad at the person. If I didn't have one and you did, I wouldn't be like, yeah, you. No, because here's the principle for me. The principle is I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. Right. Okay, David said that. I'm going to put no wicked thing before mine eyes. If it's wicked, if you say, well, what's wicked? Well, just look up the word wicked in a concordance and study that out throughout the Bible. God will tell you what he says I don't want before your eyes. So just look up wicked. Most of us know. We don't really have to even study that out. We know what's wicked. There may be a few things we need to learn, but we know what's wicked. And if it says, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes, there's the truth. There's what God said. Now, if I say, hey, that means you cannot have a TV in your house, I just made a tradition or what I believe, I put it above God's word. Right. Let me explain how. Because I can have a television and still not put wicked things before mine eyes. Right. I can also not have one and still not put wicked things before mine eyes. See, each of us, we get to decide how we follow the principle. Now, the truth, I'll preach on that truth. Don't put wicked things before your eyes. What are you doing allowing those wicked things before your eyes? I mean, I've got on my phone, on my computer at home, I've got a program called Covenant Eyes. Why? It blocks any pornography site from coming up. Why? Because I don't want it to even accidentally come up. I don't want that happening. So it can't happen. And a report goes to my wife if it does. So she's going to see it. It'll get emailed to her. So that doesn't happen, because I don't want that to happen. I don't want to put any wicked thing before mine eyes. Nothing. So we set these based on what the Word of God says. Here's the principle, and here's the truth that I follow, and what do you decide how you're going to keep that. And you make that decision for yourself. But when I dictate it has to be done this way, then I've lifted a tradition. I've lifted the commandments of men above the Word of God. Because it doesn't have to be that way. By the way, a lot of guys that'll blast you for having a television, they're watching it all on this stuff, the same things anyway, that they say you can't. They're watching the same stuff on this or on a computer. And the hypocrisy, you see? The Pharisees. It's the same thing today. The Pharisees are still alive and well. See, because it's what comes out of within that defiles us. Okay, you get? So we don't want to go above what the Word of God says. Coming to church, dressing a certain way, saying the right words, getting baptized, doing any of those religious deeds, don't cleanse us within. Okay, if you get baptized to try and cleanse your defilement, you just got wet. Okay, your baptism pictures what Christ did for you. It pictures your death to your old life and your resurrection to a new life. You're identifying with that. You're saying, I'm a saved person. Christ cleansed me within. And it adds you to this church. It's the door to church membership. It makes you a part of this body. And you're telling everyone, it's an outward profession, saying, I'm not ashamed of Jesus Christ and I want to be a part of His body. I want to be a part of what He started. That's what it's doing, but it does not cleanse away any defilement. If you think it does, then you're just like the Pharisees Jesus called hypocrites. The things that really defile us are those evil things that come from within our hearts and express themselves outwardly. Again, we could go back to Romans 1. How their foolish heart was darkened, and God gave them up to the lusts of their own hearts. That's what it is. It's what's in here. They're just doing what they already had in here. And that's what defiles us, is us doing what we already have in here. What comes out. Not what we bring in. It's not the food we eat. You've got all these people, you've got Seventh-day Adventists trying to follow the dietary laws in the Old Testament. You can't eat pork and all this stuff. That doesn't defile you. I mean, have they ever read Acts chapter 10? Have they ever read Acts chapter 10? Where God tells Peter, slay and eat, kill it. He says, oh, I haven't eaten anything defiled, Lord, in all my life. Three times. Slay it and eat it. Kill it and eat it. Kill it and eat it. Praise God, we can eat bacon. Amen. Right there. That should get a double amen. Amen and amen. Right there. Our empty traditions are what help us to be defiled, because it gives a sense of cleanliness that is non-existent. Those empty traditions. Let me tell us, when we hold to these empty traditions, this is what causes people, young preachers especially, to get upset with churches like ours that hold to holiness. And absolutely, God has not changed. There's no excuse for these younger preachers to leave what the Bible says because maybe some preacher, some pastor before them, lifted up a principle and lifted their standard up as what you're supposed to keep the principle at. When God's principle is right here, and they elevated their standard, what they did up here, to above God's principle. And they get mad at the preacher and they say, I'm done with all of that. Well, God hasn't changed. God's still holy. Amen. But what happens as a result of men doing that, lifting their tradition above what God's word says, is it turns some away. And I'm not saying they're not saved, but they say, oh, forget all that. I'm throwing all of it away, all of holiness, and they just end up making these worldly churches that we think of, where everyone's getting tattoos and all this stuff. You're okay to drink. Go ahead, you can get drunk. They don't say that. Some of them do. Most of them don't. They're just all things in moderation. Right. Well, how do you know when you're drunk? I only had, five beers. I slammed them all within 2 minutes. Well, it hasn't kicked in yet. You're not drunk yet. Give it, a minute. And it'll hit you. So where does the standard lie? How about we just do what God says? Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Look not thou on the wine when it giveth its color in the cup, when it turneth itself aright. God said, don't even look at it. Man, that'd be a good thing. Walk through the grocery store, just liquor aisle. God said, don't look at it. That's ridiculous, preacher. I know. Because all of us like running up and playing with snakes, right? Is that a rattler? Man, let me go pet it. Who does that? Non-poisonous snakes. Everyone's like, ah! I saw Brother Brad do that, so that's why I did that there. You've seen him too? No? Oh, you've done that? Okay, all right. Yeah, he's like, I've done it. All right. But see, nobody runs up to it to a rattler and does that. Turn to Proverbs chapter 23. We stay away from it. Proverbs 23:31. See, these young men want to run to it and think they're okay, think they can handle it. Why? Because their foolish hearts darkened. Okay, out of our hearts proceed all these evil things. Jesus said that's what defiles us. Verse 31 says, look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. God said, don't look at it. Because at the last, not at the beginning, at the last. Hey, remember last week, what were we talking about? Samson? It's just a little honey. It's just a little honey. But at the last, what does it do? Not at the beginning. I got it under control right here. This is no sweat. I got it under control. It's not at the beginning. It's at the last. What does it do? Biteth like a serpent. Stingeth like an adder. Right? Isn't that what it does? It's at the last. It's going to get you. So don't even look at it. Don't even look at alcohol. I mean, I'm telling you, when my kids were younger, not now really so much, but when my kids were younger, you know, I don't know how your family looks at children. We love children in my family. But I mean, look, I was the slave as a child. All right? I was the remote control as a child. And guess what my children get to be? Yes, the slave, okay? My children get to be the slave. I'm like, hey, go get this for me. Not that I wouldn't do stuff, but you know what I mean? And that's just how it is. The adults are like, hey, will you go get this for me? Go get this. And we go to a family gathering or something, and I tell my kids before we get there, look, usually the alcohol comes out, we're leaving. But, you know, it doesn't always happen. Someone has it right away, whatever. This is family. I'm not going to completely disown my family. I still love them. I want to reach them. I'm going to have to spend some time with them. You do what you want. You decide your principle, okay, on what you're going to do. But look, before we get to it, I would tell my children, I'd say, if a family member, whoever it is, a grandpa, an uncle, anybody asks you to bring them alcohol, to go get them a beer, you tell them no and come see me. Because I know my kids, we teach them to obey. So they're going to know to just, okay, if an adult asks me, I'm going to do it. But I said, if you're afraid, just come and get me right away. You just do what they say, but you come to me and tell me, and I'll go tell them. I don't even want to, don't look at it. Right. You're definitely not going to deliver it to them. Right. You're not going to touch it. Why? Because guess what? Man, it's amazing. It's amazing. If you never touch it, you'll never be a drunk. Amen. Let me take it farther. If you never look at it, you'll never be a drunk. But we think, it's okay. I've done it a few times. Nothing happened. Well, that's because at the last, it biteth like a serpent, stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart, what is it? The heart. Man, it's like that heart just keeps coming back, doesn't it? Thine heart shall utter perverse things. Sadly, some of us have lived that. Our hypocritical actions expose our hearts through our keeping of traditions while rejecting what God's word commands. So as we back up just a bit, going back to Proverbs, these preachers say it's okay to drink, go ahead, drink in moderation, don't get drunk. God says don't look at it. So what's the principle? The principle is don't look at it. When it's wine, okay, and if you study wine out in the Bible, you know, wine can mean alcoholic wine or it can mean grape juice. Study it out if you don't believe me. One of these days when I get a chance, I'll teach us on that. But I don't know when that's going to happen. One of these days I'll do it, Lord willing. So it says when the wine turneth itself aright, when it giveth its color in the cup, that means when it ferments, when it turns to alcohol, God's saying don't look at it. Don't even look at it. That's the Bible truth. So if we're not to look at it, how are you going to drink it? If God says don't look at it, how are you going to drink it? That's why I say total abstinence. Don't even look at it. Don't look at it. If you don't look at it, it'll never defile you. Again, our hypocritical actions expose our hearts through our keeping of traditions while rejecting what God's word commands. What we see here is the elevation of human tradition superseding God's word. It says in verse 3, the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands oft, eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. So they lift up that tradition of the elders. And it goes on to saying, when they come from the market, except they wash, they eat not. Many other things there be which they have not, which they have received to hold, as the washing of cups and pots, brazen vessels, and of tables. That's nowhere in the word of God, but these are the things they've lifted up, they've magnified. Verse 5, then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders? So why aren't they following this? They're asking Jesus. These oral traditions, which added to the law, became more important than God's law. And this is what's known, these oral traditions are what's known as the Talmud. This is something that we have to guard ourselves against, that what we hold to, the standards we hold, because look, our kids are going to ask us, well, why don't we do this? We have to give them a biblical principle. And we teach our children, based on this truth from the Word of God, here's the standard we've set. Here's how far we'll go. Here's how far we won't go, based on this truth from the Word of God. So, for instance, the alcohol thing. Based on what the Bible says, to not even look at it, we don't drink alcohol, we don't touch it, we don't have it in our home. Based on what God's Word says. And that's how you do it. You handle the principle, the general truth that the Word of God teaches, as it's there. And we say, based on that, this is what we do. So you teach them those things. You hold to those things, but we can't lift up our standard and say that's set for everybody. Now the standard is don't drink alcohol, don't even look at it. That's a pretty strict standard. I don't know how you're really going to get around that one. But the standard that you hold for it may not be what somebody else holds. That's just an example. Again, we could talk about the television thing. Look not thou, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. Look, if you want to have a television, have one. If you don't, don't. But the standard says, I'm not going to put filth before mine eyes. That's most everything that Hollywood puts out. So if you have it, burn it. Break it. Destroy it. Don't give it away. Don't sell it. Destroy it. If it's not good for you, it's not good for them. I can stand boldly on the Word of God and say, it's wicked. Get rid of it. But I can't. You can't have that. You can't watch that. Well, there's something. If you think it's okay, go for it. That's your standard to set, based on the principle from the Word of God. But when I elevate it, we've gone beyond. We've gone with our oral tradition, just like the Jews did in Christ's day. Here's another example. There's nothing wrong with meeting on Sunday morning and Sunday evening. But when we dictate that it must be done that way, then we're wrong. If some people, you know, a lot of Baptists will say, you have to meet Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Okay, we do, and I have no problem with that. But if you tell me I have to, show me in here. If we want to be real biblical, they met every day. Amen. They met every day. So, what are you doing to these preachers that are going to dictate this? If we want to meet on a Saturday, we can. Amen. If that's when we have our church services on a Saturday, we can do that. Now, some of those that have lifted tradition above the Word of God may have a problem with that. Now, I think we should meet on Sunday because it's the Lord's Day. That's when they met in the Bible. They made a special meeting on Sunday. Yes, they met every day, but they had a special meeting, I believe, every Sunday because that was the day of the resurrection. So, we just have to be careful. We can't elevate our tradition above what the Word of God says. When we do that, when we elevate tradition above God's Word, we show a heart that's far from God. Verse 6 says, he answered and said unto them after they say, well, why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders? Here's what Jesus said unto them. Well, hath Esaias prophesied of you hypocrites? This people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Oh man, they honoreth me with their lips. They say, praise him, praise him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. But their heart is far from me. It's in here. It's in here. That's what they do. They say they're following God. They say they love Jesus. But their heart is far from him. Because it's out of our heart proceed all these things. This tradition of the elders had gone so far that Edersheim in a commentary pointed out that the two leading rabbis of the age, Hillel and Shammai, here's what they said. They had fixed the ordinance about washing hands. their schools. So they have these schools that teach these traditions. Their schools, which differed about almost everything else, agreed that water had to be poured on the hands and allowed to run down to the wrist. So you were eating with unwashed hands if you didn't allow the water to run all the way down to the wrist. I mean, they had all these standards that you had to meet. That's nowhere found in the Word of God. Nowhere. But these are what these two schools got together who disagreed about everything else. They say, yeah, that's the washing of hands. That's what you, then you can eat. Then you're not eating with defiled. But that's found nowhere in the Word of God. So what does a Pharisee do again? They add to the Word of God. They add to the Word of God. They say, here's what we say. Remember, just right before this, what we're reading in Mark chapter 7, Jesus had just fed the 5,000 with five loaves. He'd just done it in the wilderness. I'm pretty sure they didn't wash their hands. I'm pretty sure. Jesus, look what Jesus did with the traditions of the day. He said, I don't care about that. That's nonsense. Done with that. We don't need that. Just do away with it. We could do the same thing. It wouldn't hurt us. Just these traditions of the day, just we're done with that. We don't need all that. See, because it's all about where our heart's at. Where is our heart with God? Is our heart following God? Or is our heart, are we just trying to look the part, but we're defiled inside? We can get good at playing the part of being close to God when God really knows the truth of the matter. Here's what he said in verse 6. He said, well hath Esaias prophesied of you hypocrites. See, God knew. He honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Verse 7, howbeit in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. See, doesn't this fit with Romans 1? Doesn't it fit? They became vain in their imaginations, their foolish heart being darkened. In vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men as the washing of pots and cups and many other such like things ye do. They lay aside the commandment of God to hold the tradition of men. That's religion. That's Protestantism, Catholicism. Lays aside the commandment of God for what men have said. That's why we want to, thus saith the Lord. That's why I tell you, bring your Bible. Read your Bible. Study your Bible. Know your Bible. So it's the commandment of God is magnified and lifted up. That God's word is magnified above all his name. This is the preeminent thing. Jesus Christ, his word. What he magnified, what he said is important, is the same thing that we magnify. You can fool everybody here at church that you're spiritual, but you will never fool God. Never. God knew exactly how these Pharisees were. And the people looked at them like, man, those are some holy men. Same thing happens today. You look at preachers, you're like, man, that's a holy man. He's wearing that suit. He gets up and preaches God's word. It's a holy man. And I'm not saying we shouldn't. But the Pharisees were hypocrites. Jesus called them out on it. He knew. He knew, even though we may not. He knew. 2 Timothy 3:5 says, they have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. A hypocrite plays the part. They're an actor. Are you simply playing the part of a Christian today? Or is it real in your heart? You can fool us all here. Every one of us here you can fool. You can't fool God. Maybe you're truly saved, but your heart has wandered from God. Your heart's going to go after what you desire. Ask God to give you the desires, give you right desires. You know, a lot of times what will help us have the right desires is something as simple as reading your Bible every day and praying every day. And it's that simple. Get God's mind going through yours, cleansing you. You're like, how come I feel so far from God, like God doesn't talk to me? Because he doesn't. You're not reading his word. How else is he going to talk to you if you don't spend time in his word? It gets down to being that simple. When you feel away from God and God's not speaking to me, just get in his book. Read his word. Let him speak to you. He'll guide you. This path ultimately leads to a full-out rejection of God's commandments. Verse 9, he said unto them, full well ye reject the commandment of God that ye may keep your own tradition. I don't care what God says. I'm going to do it my way. It's going to be my way. Frank Sinatra sang a song like that. I did it my way. Yeah, and he's in hell. Sadly. Did he? Yeah, he did it his way. See, at the last, it biteth like a serpent. He lived it up. He had everything he wanted in this life. everything he wanted. All the money, all the booze, all the women, he had it all. You think, look at what his life. He had everything the world says we're to go after. But at the last, it biteth like a serpent, stingeth like an adder. See, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. He ended up paying for it. He's in hell. As far as I know, I never heard any type of testimony of salvation from him. His life surely didn't dictate that. He lived the life of a lost man. But he did it his way. Verse 9, he said unto them, full well you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your own tradition. We're going to do what we want to do. What I want to do is what I'm going to keep. Is that where you're at? Is that where your heart's at? Or is your heart set on the Word of God? I hope it's set on the Word of God. Let's pray.